Would you guys like to stand up and just join me in prayer this morning for today's service? When I was thinking about today, I had this joy just rise up on the inside of me for what God is going to share. And then that joy, I realized, was joy from the Holy Spirit. And I began to think, okay, Lord, what does that look like? Do you know it's just as simple as saying, Holy Spirit, I thank you for your joy flowing through me. Just like a bubbling spring, just flowing through every fiber of my being. And then when I was in prayer, I also saw this just by the Spirit of God, that today, I believe today's March 15th, right? Okay. That there were going to be many that said yes to the call of God on their life. That you say a resounding yes to the Lord using you to be a part of His story. So as we pray today, let's just go ahead and receive all that the Lord has for us. Does that sound good? Yeah. Heavenly Father, we come to you right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, fill us up with your joy. Your joy flowing through us like a spring, like a bubbling spring of water, refreshing us, strengthening us, encouraging us, flowing through every fiber of our being and every aspect of our lives. We receive that joy. Oh, and your joy is a medicine to us, God. We're so thankful for the joy of the Lord being our strength today. And Father God, I thank you for your word that's living big on the inside of us. I pray that we are hearers of your word, that we are doers of your word, and Lord, that we love your word, that we cling to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And also, that we might slow down and just listen. Listen to what you are saying. That patience is truly having its perfect work in our lives. That right in the middle of all the waiting, we hear your voice and we say yes. Lord, we want to be used by you. We receive your love today. We say thank you for your love. Lord, we love your church. We love who you love. And Father, we honor you this morning. And God, use me. Help me to speak boldly your truth. We give you the highest praise, and in Jesus' name we all said, amen. Amen. You may have a seat. I'm so thankful for the precious blood of Christ. We're singing that song this morning, and I'm like, woo! Praise God for the blood of Jesus that has washed me, that has cleansed me, that has made me whole. I'm so thankful for Jesus. And this message really comes from a place of the Lord being more real in my life than anything in this world. I got saved at 5 years old. My mom led me to the Lord, actually in her bedroom. I told her, I walked in and I said, Mom, I want to get saved. I've lived for Jesus the majority of my life. Not that it's been easy. I've had a lot of things that I've gone through that I'm so thankful that he has carried me through. But it's interesting how there are moments where God can just become more real than you've ever imagined. Doesn't matter if you've known him your whole life or if you met him yesterday. My prayer truly is that the Lord becomes more real in my life every day. Every day, Lord, you are more real than anything in this world. And this message really was birthed from a moment where I was facing a challenge. And I'm in this moment in my life, facing something and looking all around, surrounded by a melting pot of people whom God loves, but people with different opinions, people with different backgrounds, people different than me. Aren't you so thankful that we're all different? But yet God loves us all the same. So I'm facing this challenge and I'm actually laying there talking to the Lord and I ask this question. How many of you all like to ask God questions? Quite a few hands, yes. I said, God, why am I here? What a loaded question. God, why am I here? What a great question to answer this morning. This morning, the title of today's message is called The Big Picture. Because there is a bigger picture in life, and I don't want to miss a single part of how God uses me. There's a bigger picture to the why than what we may realize. So today, we're going to answer a few questions. We're going to answer the why, but we're also going to answer the how. We got to put legs to this thing, right? Before we do any of that, we need to answer the who. Now, you guys, I love finding out who I am in Christ Jesus. If you want to go down a study, then you can, it is a study where you begin to realize, wait, this is who God says I am. This is how loved I am by God. But we didn't have time to go through all of that this morning. But if you follow with the notes, and in the app, I made sure I gave them my full notes with all my cross references and everything. I gave you all a study for this week. You have homework in the Trailhead app in the message notes. Holy homework. To have a whole Bible study that I had the best time putting together with the Lord. So let's talk about the who before we even get into the what. In this big picture that we call life, I've got three scriptures that I pulled out that mean so much to me, that have ministered to me. And let's just touch on them briefly. But these are what I would call highlight scriptures in the Word of God. That means you need to get out your highlighter and a pen and start making some notes about these things. Why? Because in Psalm 139 and verse 16, Psalm 139 is one of my most favorite psalms in finding the who. Because we begin to see that God knew you before anyone else knew you. And He actually knows the real you. And He loves you right in the middle of it all. Psalm 139, 16 says, "Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they were all written, the days fashioned for me when as yet there were none of them." Before you were even a thought in your mama's heart, the Lord was thinking about you. You are the who that He thinks about every day. And His thoughts are so much higher than you could ever imagine for you. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. If anyone were to ask my favorite book in the Bible, I typically say Ephesians. I love the book of Ephesians. I believe they've been walking through it in Switchback Youth. Is that true? Teenagers? Yeah, that's cool. Ephesians 1, 4. Just as He chose us, say, God chose me. God chose me. Doesn't it feel good to be chosen this morning? You're not standing on the sidelines. God chose you. And He didn't just choose you. It says, just as He chose us in Him. He chose you in Christ Jesus. That Jesus laid down His life for you. That you are chosen and loved and valued and treasured by God. You are a part of the big picture this morning. Just as God chose us in Him before the foundation of the world. Well, that was a long time ago. Can you even wrap your mind around it? Before the foundation of the world, you were chosen by God in Christ Jesus. That what? That we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Before the very foundation of the world, you were chosen by God to live a life in Christ, a holy life. How can we live a holy life without blame? Only through what? The precious blood of Christ. Not anything we could earn, anything we could do on ourselves. It is only through a Savior. And his name is who?
Jesus.
Yeah, thank you. And his name is who?
Jesus.
Y'all, we should be able to say the name of Jesus in the Lord's church. And his name is who?
Jesus.
His name is Jesus. And he chose you in love. Let's hold that in love just in our pocket throughout today's sermon, okay? Let's look at this next scripture. Romans 5:8. This is a shouting scripture if there ever was one, all right? But God demonstrates his own love toward us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That was a shouting scripture. Let's try it again. Okay, this is a demonstration. There's a demonstration of God's love. He actually demonstrated his love, but God demonstrated his own love toward us, towards you, towards the who, towards the person on the street, towards your neighbor, towards your coworker, towards the person that you are having beef with right now, towards your mama and your daddy and your aunt and your uncle, towards your entire family. He demonstrated his own love. Towards the who, that what? While you were still dead in sin and you didn't deserve a thing, Christ died for you. I pray that that comes alive in our hearts this morning. Before we can answer the why, we have to have a love for the who. Jesus, thank you for saving me. I didn't earn it. I was a hot mess. I was in pride. I was in sin. I was in shame. I was alone. I felt forgotten, yet you were there the whole time, and you rescued me from that pit of despair. Even dead in sin, God, you love me? It's why you're sitting here this morning. So the why, I'm asking the Lord, Lord, why am I here? Why am I here? You know, you may be asking yourself that even in your workplace. Lord, why do you have me in this job? Some of you have even asked that about your family. Why this family, God? Let's be real, you have. Hallelujah. I like that encouragement back there. The why. And there's this beautiful picture that comes with the why. And the Lord gave me three things that we're going to discuss. And it all comes out of Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. But I am going to read verse 13 because it goes together. So turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5. We'll start in verse 13. Believers being the salt and the light. Matthew chapter 5. In verse 13, it says, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. Let's stop there for a second. Salt in this time was very valuable, and it was also used to preserve. I'm going to primarily talk about being the light today, but we can't leave out this scripture. It all flows together in what Jesus was ministering here in Matthew chapter 5. The church is here to come in and preserve the very foundation of what God's created. We are here to be flavorful. That it's full of joy. I've seen some of y'all put salt in things. You are happy when you put salt on your food. And I'm like, whoa, all right. Flavorful, to preserve, to be a part of what God's doing on the earth today. To be useful for the kingdom of God. You were chosen by God, created by God. He knew you before time began to operate as a good work in Christ Jesus, that even when you were dead in sin, God loved you and he had a good plan for your life Why? To be useful for the kingdom of God. You each have a gift to be used for God's kingdom. You do. Whether you deny it, it's there. It's how he created. He loves you that much. It's there. So read verses 14 through 16. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Who's the light of the world? Yeah, you are. I am. We are the light. If the world needs a light, then what's happening in the world today? There's darkness. There's darkness. We've got to wake up to this, to the why of God being more real than anything in this world, to the bigger picture of being useful for the kingdom of God is that, hold on, Lord, you have called me to be a light in this world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket. I really love this analogy because you can picture it. But on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Whenever we begin to read these scriptures, we start to see a pattern of what our life should look like. And I love that Jesus is sharing this. And the very first thing that we're going to talk about in answering the why of God, why am I in this job? Why am I in this family? Why am I in this church? Lord, why have you placed me here? Why did you call me to go? Why am I facing this challenge that I'm in right now? Ooh, isn't that a big one? And the first thing that the Lord ministered to me when I asked him this question was to share the light of Christ. To share the light of Christ. Whenever you cross-reference Matthew chapter 5 and verse 14, it takes you to John chapter 8 and verse 12. So to share the light of Christ, you need to know who the light is. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. What I love so much, here we're reading about being the light of the world in a city set on the hill, and so often we get confused that it's somehow about us. But then we read in John chapter 8, cross-referencing, connecting these scriptures, Jesus is the light of the world, and my job, my calling, what I've been chosen to do, however you want to put it in your verbiage, is to follow him. And he will give me the light of life. It's time to stop putting the weight and the burden on your shoulders and begin to roll it onto the one who actually can bring a revival in your workplace, who can bring a revival in your family, who can bring a revival in Trailhead Church and Graham and your schools and Alamance County. Then that cross-references. Do you just want to keep cross-referencing with me? Yes, I think you do. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I don't have time to go into all of these scriptures, but I want to read verses 3 through 6. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and I want to paint a picture here of the light of Christ and to share the light of Christ and what this looks like in our lives. It says, but even if our gospel is veiled, this is verse 3, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe. Stop right there. Have you ever faced a challenge or you've been in a situation and you're like, God, why don't they get it? Why are they struggling? Why are they so unkind? Why are they going through A, B, C, and D or continually battling and often in pride? Why do I have this challenging time with them? Because there's real darkness in this world. There's a real Satan. And it says to those who are perishing, that he has blinded their eyes, that they don't see it. Do you realize that this is why the church has been called to pray and intercede for the lost? This is why on First Sunday, on those Sunday nights when we come together in corporate prayer, we are believing God for every blinder to be removed in Jesus' name. We're praying for eyes to be open, ears to hear, hearts to receive, that you yourself, maybe you've been struggling with someone in your family or in your workplace, and right now the wake-up call is for you to intercede on their behalf. And what is intercession? An intercessor takes the place of another. You begin to stand in the gap for their soul. That you care so deeply about the light of Christ being shared that you say, Lord, I am broken for brokenness. Help me to not see their sin, but to see the light of Christ that's on the within. God, I rebuke every blinder in Jesus' name. Satan, take your hands off of their life. I pray that they awaken unto righteousness, that they awaken unto holiness, that they awaken unto who you've called them to be. Why? Because without Jesus, we're all perishing. Well, that's a wake-up call today. Verse 4, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest what? Lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. Let's continue reading. For we do not preach ourselves. Aren't you thankful about that? But Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves for your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. We share Jesus in every challenge, and it's the power of God that is at work in us, not ourselves. But how will they hear unless someone says, I am the light of Christ, shining as a city on a hill. Unless you share the gospel of Jesus. And you know what's interesting? It's not complicated. Sometimes it's you just standing there listening, not having your own opinion. Sometimes it's a really good hug. Sometimes it's having a moment where you go, we're going to step out in boldness. We're going to pray together. It could be a message, sharing scripture that the Lord's taken you through. It's you in Jesus. It's simply living. Who has a testimony of Jesus in here? You have something to share. Has God brought you through something? Yeah. You have something to share. Did you know that there is someone right now that is in darkness, that their soul is yearning for the light of Christ, and you have that light? That's right. And that's the why. That's the bigger picture of why God has placed you right in the middle of that challenge. Have you ever been in a moment of suffering and you're like, Lord, what is going on? And right in the middle, the Lord says, let me use you right in the middle of this challenge, right in the face of adversity. Let me do a healing work, and I'll receive all the glory. If we continue on, that takes us into the second why. So the first, to share the light of Christ, we realize it's not ourselves, but it's Jesus, his power at work on the inside of me. There's resurrection power living on the inside of you. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead is living on the inside of you. So I'm here to share that light to what? To bring God glory. Woo, don't we live in a world where man wants to get all the glory for everything? And I'm like, I couldn't do any of this without Jesus. Anybody else in that same boat? Where you wanted to quit your life a million times and the only reason you didn't is because of the grace of God? Do you know what I mean? The moment you think that you have got it all together and this has somehow been how good or great or what you did, I pray the Holy Spirit reminds all of us for that one moment when we just wanted to throw in the towel. And it was only God's mercy and grace that saw us through. You guys, the why is to bring God glory. You see, there's a temptation to hide your light. Isn't that true? That everywhere we go, I don't know. What if they do this? What if they say that? What if I offend? What if that? It's wild how the thoughts will just run rampant whenever there's a moment to shine your light in a very dark situation. You know, I thought of this though, but if we're just living in the light all of the time, it's just simply who you are. So those moments, rather than fear gripping you, you're so used to the light of Christ. These moments of fear have no hold. You realize God's love is greater than any darkness that you could ever face. You guys, we've been called to live our life in Christ before this world. Turn to John chapter 1, verse 14, or John chapter 1, verse 4. John chapter 1, verse 4. I'd encourage you to read this entire chapter. It goes with this whole message. It says that in him was life, and the life was the light of men. It's the light of Christ that gives us life, and we bear witness of the light of Christ. And it's our testimony that brings glory to God in every aspect of our life. And you all, this testimony is a testimony of eternal life. Whenever we begin to talk about the why, we begin to say, okay, Lord, you've called me to be a light shining in this world and a light shining in the darkness. And God, I want to bring you glory. Then we always have to keep our eyes on Jesus, because if we don't, then we begin to look at our own insecurities or where we might miss it. Or you go, well, I'm not used to praying with people out loud, or I don't know the Bible like so-and-so, and I'm not sure if I have anything to say. Yet here we have the greater one living on the inside of you, and you right now have a testimony of eternal glory, which means you already have something great to share with someone. To give God glory. Do you know how many people want to hear about eternity and that it's going to be far greater than anything they could ever hope or imagine? That we have a heaven to gain and a hell to shun? Yeah. In 1 John 5:11, it says, and this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. We were created to bring God glory. And it's not anything that we could do in of ourselves, and I'm so thankful that it's not. But every good work that God has called us to do is always to bring glory to the Lord and not of ourselves. Whether you're in kids ministry, whether you're worshiping on the stage, whether you're worshiping the Lord in the parking lot, whether you're sharing Jesus at your workplace, Jesus in your home, whether you have accomplished so many wonderful and great things in your life that according to the world's standards, you've made it. It's never for our own personal gain, for our glory. It's always for the glory of the Lord. Because the moment we realize that it's all about Jesus, there's such joy that comes with what we do for the Lord. Because the pressure goes off of us and onto him. What do you mean? When you pray for someone, can you do anything on your own? No, no. Whose power is at work on the inside of you? Who's the healer? That's right. Yeah. Then you go, I'm just going to pray with everybody, because Jesus said that he would do it. Lord, I just want to give you glory with my words, with my actions. Oh yeah, let's talk about that for a second. I want to bring God glory with my words. Isn't that sharing the light of Christ? Honoring God and how we love others. You say, why are we called to do this? Well, we're sharing the light of Christ. This is the why. To bring God glory. To what? To live an abundant life. Did you know that the Lord came for you to have life and life in abundance? I begin to think about verse 14. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Have you ever been on a road trip and it was a long road trip and you are worn out and you need to find a place to stay? Joshua and I, we love backpacking and camping and hiking, and we've been in some desolate places where we made a decision late at night to not camp due to rain, because Josh does not like to camp in rain, okay? He's going to find a hotel. Agreed? He's going to find a hotel. And I can't tell you how many times we've been in the middle of nowhere and we'll see a light in the distance and immediately we have this peace. Oh, there's somewhere to stay. There's somewhere safe to go. Oh, there's a place where people are going to welcome us and give us shelter. I bet there's food where those lights are. I'm not going to have to set up camp out in the rain. There are people that are going to welcome me in, feed me, give me a bed, and I'm going to be comfortable tonight. To live an abundant life, I begin to think of a city set on a hill. You guys, that's us. That's what He's called us to be. That as the people of God, of who we are, that we are safe, that people can come to you, and you are a safe person that someone trusts. That it's visible, that your light is visible. That even in the darkness, far away, someone looks out and they say, you know what, when I go to the Snyder home, I'm going to experience the light of Christ. That's a safe place for me to go. That your own children and your grandchildren recognize, I can show up at my grandparents' house and it's a safe place where they see me and love on me in the love of Jesus. Ooh, isn't that the why? That they know they're going to find prayer and hope and encouragement. They're going to get fed. You show up at the Gresham house, you get fed. I'm going to feed all y'all. That a city has resources. That it's full of purpose. And then, you know, in Matthew chapter 5, we just heard the Sermon on the Mount. And I begin to think of this city set on a hill. Jesus just ministered about mountain living. It's a higher way of living, being heavenly minded. A city set on a hill means you are useful and that your life isn't about you, that it's what you receive, you can give, and it's a light that is shine so lovingly for what? For all to see. For all to see that this is the love of Christ shining on the inside of us. Whenever you look at this, I cross-referenced it from John chapter 1 in that passage, and it took me to John chapter 3. We're very familiar with John 3, 16 and 17, but I'm going to jump down to verse 21. In John chapter 3, verse 21, it says, but he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God. Are you seeing the big picture of why you're where you're at in your life today, of where God's placed you, even in the challenge, even in the hardship? In your workplace, around people that you're different than, that God is calling you to what? Love higher, to see them for who they are in Christ, that He loves them so much, that He chose them as well. That your good deeds are to be seen for everyone, that you are a city on a hill. Can you ask yourself, am I a safe place for people to come to? Do people want me to pray with them? Actually, am I always asking someone else for prayer, but do I ever pray with someone? We can get caught up where it's all about us and we're just in my issues and my problems and we're never reaching out to love and pray on others. That your light is shining to give God glory, to live. What is an abundant life? It's living life to the fullest in Christ Jesus, being useful for his kingdom. And then we answer the why with what? The how. And there was one specific scripture that the Lord led me to that I placed so deep in my heart. You know those scriptures that like wreck you in a good way? Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. This is all about the love of God. The greatest gift of all. You see, the how begins through receiving God's love. We have the why of sharing the light of Christ, of giving God glory and living an abundant life. But the how? How am I actually going to accomplish this? Only through receiving God's love, because what you receive, you give. And that love is empowered by the Holy Spirit, who is continually guiding and leading us into all truth, who's continually confirming who we are in Christ Jesus, who's our comforter and our advocate, who in those moments that you yourself want to say something that may not bring God glory, aren't you so glad for the Holy Spirit then? He's like, don't say it. God loves them. Then he'll be like, you got to forgive. You do it, you're going to feel free. I'm so thankful for the Holy Spirit working God's love out of my life. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, I think we have to read the whole passage, but we're going to park in verse 7. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It is not puffed up. Love does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. In the beginning of verse 8 says, love never fails. I'm asking God the why around people in the middle of a challenge where I'm sitting there and looking at all of these different people, looking at the big picture of how God wants to use me. And he takes me to 1 Corinthians 13, 7. And he says, I want you to place this in your heart. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. And I said, why? I asked him why again. He said, because this is how you're going to shine. Only through my love. And there's going to be moments where it's going to have to bear some things. Where it's going to have to believe through some things. Where it's going to have to draw on my hope for where you're at in life. Where it's going to take some endurance through my love. And he said, Anna, my love never fails. When you break this down about the love of God, here's a picture of each word. Bears. This word bears, when we study it out in the Greek, it means to endure patiently. Picture a roof over someone or a cover. That love covers. By covering to keep off something which threatens, shielding others from exposure, patiently absorbing strain. That this type of love that bears conceals the faults of others rather than broadcasts them. It's a safe covering that encourages repentance and growth without humiliation. Ooh. Do you want me to say that again? It's a safe covering that encourages repentance and growth without humiliation, conceals the faults of others rather than broadcasts them. Galatians 6:2 says to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. And then you may ask, what is the law of Christ? Well, we can answer that through more cross-referencing. Romans 15:1 says, we then who are strong ought to bear with the scruples of the weak and to not please ourselves. And then that takes us to James chapter 2, verse 8, that tells us that if you really fulfill the royal laws according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, and you do well. Bearing with one another is fulfilling the law of Christ, and Pastor Josh started it off this morning, of loving your neighbor as yourself. Of covering, you're a safe covering. Believes all things. That word believes in the Word of God is always correlated with the Greek word that means to have faith in. And it's not faith in any old thing, it's faith in Jesus. It's faith in God through the works of Christ. So believing that leads to or proceeds from God's inbirthing of faith, that there's a confidence in the very goodness of who God's created us to be, that you actually have faith that you can entrust someone's spiritual well-being to Christ. That when you believe God for someone, you believe that they can actually have a full transformation in Christ Jesus. That's the love of God. He said in all things, right? So after these words, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. What does all things mean? It's one of my most favorite definitions in the Bible. How many of you like to do puzzles? Okay, then you'll love it too. Every part that applies, one piece at a time that makes up a whole, viewing the whole in individual terms. So imagine a puzzle. Imagine your big story as a puzzle that as you believe God, as you bear up under love and believe in His love and allow His hope to reign through His love and that it's enduring, that it's God doing one piece at a time. But He sees the whole picture. But Lord, I'm believing You with this. Lord, help me start with the corners, right? Then help me organize into groups. I mean, we can talk to God about this. But He helps you with every piece of your life. Every piece. And not one piece is forgotten. Not one piece is lost under the table or under the couch. He has it all. Right in the palm of His hands. Hopes all things. So that word hope is actually a verb. Hope fixed, that you set or you trust, you expect. So it's actively waiting. This hope is actively waiting for God's fulfillment about the faith He has birthed through the power of His love. Have you ever said or even heard someone else say, I'm hopeless? God's love, His great love has been birthed on the inside of you so that you don't have to live hopeless in how you love others or how you walk through this life. That you can actively wait and expect for the birth that right in the middle of that suffering, right in the middle of the challenge where you're saying, God, why am I here? He says, you are here to allow my light to shine through you and my love to reign, to give me glory because I am giving you an abundant life. Put your trust in me, expect in me, hope in me. And then this final word is the word endures all things. It's fortitude. It means remaining under the load. Woo! That you abide. It even says suffer. Take patiently to persevere. But for the believer, this uniquely happens by God's power. To endure bravely and calmly. That you recognize, Lord, I can only do this through your love, through your power that is at work on the inside of me. And then we realize that we receive this by the power of the Holy Spirit. In Romans chapter 5, verse 5, it says, "Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us." I wrote a prayer after asking God these questions. I was standing in an elevator with someone that I had just met, right in the middle of this challenge I was facing. She looked at me and she said, "Anna, I want to tell you something." She was from Brazil, just lovely. She said, "I'm so glad I met you because I can see the light of Christ in you." She said, "It's so kind." You know, I didn't even feel like I was doing anything. It blew my mind. And I was like, "Lord, your light really is brighter than anything in this world." Like, I began to go over the conversations that I had had with this young woman, and I couldn't think of any just given point that I was, and you all know, if you know me, I'll talk about Jesus all day long. And I couldn't think of any given point that I just actively shared something that was like, "In your face, Jesus." Yet she saw the light of Christ because of God's love that was shed abroad in my heart only by the power of the Holy Spirit. I walked out of that elevator and I started to cry. And I went into my room and I wrote this prayer. And this is a prayer that I want to finish with today, that I want to pray over all of us. And as we close out today's service, we finish talking to the Lord about our lives and looking at the big picture. One of the questions I would ask you is, have you made Jesus Lord over your life? That you've received God's love in such a way that it transforms everything. That you become a new creation in Christ. You say, "How do I receive that?" In Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, it tells us that it's a confession of faith, that you believe that God sent His Son Jesus to die on the cross for all of your sins, and that you openly declare that you're a sinner and that you need saved, and that Jesus rose from the grave, that He truly is our Savior, and that He rose from the grave so that you might have real life, a life worth living. Here at the end of the service, we're going to have a prayer team that comes up front here. And if you've never made Jesus Lord over your life, or maybe you've been like the prodigal son or daughter and you have ran away from Christ and you want to come and just really pray a prayer of repentance with someone and ask the Lord to clean you up and make you whole, this altar's open. It's open for you. You're the who. And then as we continue and we finish today's message in prayer, I pray that each of us look at where we're at in life and say, "God, thank you for giving me the why for the bigger picture. Help me to share the light of Christ, that it's not of myself, but it's of you and your power, your glory, your might, your strength. Give me the words and the encouragement to say, because God, you've given me an abundant life, and I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful. And Lord, that it's only birthed through your love. And Holy Spirit, help me to see others as Jesus sees them." Because each of us, every person on this earth, is crying out for the love of God. every person. Every person. We're going to pray this. As I pray, let's just have a moment with the Lord together.